Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Africa's fastest man, Kenyan sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala, usually will test his speed over short distances, like over 100 meters. Omanyala set the African record of 9.77 seconds at that distance on September 18th in Nairobi, Kenya. But on Friday in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Omanyala ran a much longer distance, a 5-kilometer race in 18 minutes. Writing on Facebook, Omanyala said it's one of the many ways he prepares and builds up ahead of a busy season. In a recent interview with Prince Nesta, Omanyala talked about his daily training routine.
So it depends when, which part of the season you are in. Like the when the season ended, like 2 months, basically 2 months ago, I was resting for like a month before now we begin the new season, which I began three weeks ago. So right now, wake up, go to the gym, go back to train on the track. After track, come home, take some lunch, go back for training in the evening, come, sleep, repeat the same Monday to Saturday, doing that continuously. 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night is enough for me. And then sleep, steal some nap during the day, like an hour or two before the training sessions in the evening.
You recently represented Kenya at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. How was the experience like for you?
It was a great experience because it was my first ever big championship. And I thank God for my mental strength because I never felt the nerves. I never say that this is my first. I'm just coming here to enjoy. And I was not going there to participate. I was going there to compete. So it was a great experience. It was a great stepping stone. It opened a lot of doors for me. And I'm looking forward to even competing in bigger and bigger stages in the future.
So that was your first event, big championship that is, and reached the semifinals.
8 overall out of 56 guys.
Wow. And, you know, you miss possibly getting into the finals by a whisker or something.
Yeah, but yeah, it was like by a rule, because the first two have to get automatic to the finals, and then they take the second 1-2 fastest losers. So I missed it on that because I came third in my heat. Yeah. Even though the second person in the second heat at the same time as mine, he made it to the finals because of that part of the rule. The first two qualified to the finals. But it was a great, I don't regret anything. It was the biggest. I gave myself a thumbs up because it was a good performance I did.
I mean, that's such a big stage and I'm trying to put myself in your shoe. You know, it's a new stadium, Olympic Stadium. You know, of course, there aren't a lot of, you know, fans, spectators weren't really there. Possibly they would have made a difference if, you know, spectators would have been allowed at the events and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Cameras and all these things. You aren't scared at all. Plus, of course, you're facing people you just used to watch on YouTube.
Yeah, I watch on TV. I wasn't scared. I told myself, everybody here has qualified. Yeah. So nobody's here by masses or by chance. So we are here with the same cut. So you just have to put your heads up and don't fear anybody. Just go there and put in your greatest show. So that's what I did. And it turned out I got the semifinals, the national record, and it was a very, very good platform.
I like that confidence, man. I like the confidence.
Yeah, that's what carries me.
absolutely. And, you know, after the Tokyo events and coming back to Kenya, you competed in the Kipkeino Classics, actually. That's where you broke the record. And the event took place in the Moi International Sports Center, Kasarani, in Nairobi, Kenya. American Trayvon Bromwell won the 100-meter race in that particular event with a world lead time of 9.76 seconds. You came in second at 9.77. In fact, it was so close, you know, some people really couldn't determine who won that event, you know, it was so close. And Justin Gatlin, you know, came in third during that event at 10.03 seconds. You know, take us through the series of events before, during the event, and even after the event.
So the Kipkeno Classic was really hyped. It was a race between me and Gatlin because so many people know Gatlin in Kenya and so many people know Manyala. Nobody was talking about Bromwell. So people were hyping between me and Gatlin. I remember even at the press conference, there was so much hype until you can feel like this is going to be big. Yeah. So it was a really very good planned event. And getting into the stadium, it was around 6 and the lights were up. And I see people, there are so many people in the field. And then I'm looking at people and nobody is sitting down. Everybody is standing. And the commentator is there like, this is the moment that all have been waiting for.
Wow.
So even at the call room, the guys who write the names before the athletes entered the field were just in a hurry because they all wanted to get in. So they were writing our names so hurriedly so that they just leave us and go in and watch. So it was it was a really great and weighted event. And it was live again on TV. So you can imagine how big that was. And the fans, okay, there were a bit of fans in the field. But yeah, looking at people and seeing how people are waiting for such an event, it was really motivating. Yeah, after that, running the African record, everybody's talking about. I remember I got out of the field and everybody was waiting just to see me. Who is this guy?
You surprised the whole nation, honestly. And, you know, people couldn't believe it that a Kenyan known for, you know, long distance running, a Kenyan could run 100 meters at 9.77 seconds.
Yeah, it was big.
I'm pretty sure you also get such reactions like people are still, you know, in doubt, really, you know, how could this guy do?
How is it happening? Yeah. There are those people are still doubting, but there are those who believed. They were not believing at first, but now they believe because I've done it consistently and repeatedly. Mm. So there are still those who are still waiting that. There are those who are saying, let's wait for next year and see what will this guy do. But yeah, it's nature. Because coming from Kenya and you've never been in the scene for the last 5 years, you're just coming like you've erupted. Consistency for next season again will be good.
You know, we saw a beautiful video of you after that particular event, you know, embracing the Kenyan president Uhuru Kenyatta after the race. What did he tell you?
It was a congratulations message, just congratulating me of what I've done. And he was so excited. And seeing him there was really humbling. And again, motivating, because if the president can set aside his busy schedule to come and watch you run, is something big.
That's Kenyan sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala, Africa's fastest man. And he was talking with Prince Nesta from Nairobi.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturday. Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. And here's a fun VOA fact for our Voice of America listeners. Music Time in Africa was founded 56 years ago in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. And it's the VOA's longest-running English language program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with another spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We begin the wrap of this weekend's Africa sports action with the 13th edition of the Confederation of Africa Football Extraordinary General Assembly, which took place on Friday, the 26th of November in Cairo, the Egyptian capital. The Extraordinary General Assembly was chaired by CAF President Patrice Motsepe. Top of the agenda of the meeting was the consideration of the annual revised budget 2021-2022, Africa Football Infrastructure Development Program, FIFA International Match Calendar for men and women, including FIFA Men's and Women's World Cups, and the Pan-African Super League, among others. Motsepe, at a press conference shortly after the end of the extraordinary meeting, spoke of Cameroon's preparedness for the 2021 AFCON billed for January 2022.
What I like is just that deep commitment by the people of Cameroon and the determination by all the stakeholders, including the government, to make a success of the AFCON. And to the extent that there's anything that's outstanding, we will engage and make sure that progress has been made. But I'm absolutely satisfied. All of us at this stage must focus on AFCON in Cameroon and make the huge success out of it, which I'm confident it will be.
The CAF president also clarified why the continent's football governing body is backing a FIFA proposal for the World Cup to be held every 2 years.
The prime competition, the main competition for Africa, which is AFCON, will definitely continue. Part of the process is to ensure that the players do not play more matches or more games than they did historically, and there will be a fundamental review of the competitions and of the structure that has existed over many years. We have to respond. We've got to be guided by the commercial as well as the pure football.
Staying with CAF and AFCON matters, the Confederation of African Football have launched the official match ball of the Total African Cup of Nations to be held in Cameroon next January. The match ball, Togu, named after a popular Cameroonian outfit, will be used throughout the entire tournament. Designed to meet the highest standards in the game, the ball features simple technological features, including a smart panel configuration, and it's FIFA approved to be used at the highest levels of the game. And now to Kenya, where a Kenyan court on Thursday dropped all corruption charges against the suspended head of the Football Kenya Federation and declared the case closed after the state failed to provide any evidence against him. Nick Manua was arrested on the 12th of November, a day after Sports Minister Amina Mohamed set up a caretaker committee to run the Football Kenya Federation after an investigation uncovered alleged financial irregularities during his tenure. But Nairobi magistrate Wandia Nyamo dismissed the case after prosecutors, who had applied for 7 days to enable them to conduct investigations, sought to close the file against the 42-year-old. Nelson Harvey is the lead counsel to Mr. Mwanwa.
The closure of the file means that the investigations have concluded. There is no criminal culpability against Nick Mwanwa. As expected, no charges were preferred, and the DPP notify the court that they have closed the file, a confirmation that Nick Mwanwa had been arrested, detained on flimsy and trumped up charges.
News just coming in says the embattled Football Kenya Federation president, Nick Mwenwa, was on Friday rearrested and taken to the Directorate of Criminal Investigations headquarters in Nairobi, Kenya. The federation's chief executive officer, Barry Otieno, said Mwenwa was being held by DCI officers. Staying with African football, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has come under fire from a Nigerian reporter, Ojora Babatunde, over the German's remark about the Africa Cup of Nations, which he described as a little tournament. Klopp had earlier in the week been asked about the busy international fixtures that run into March of next year. His response was, quote, "No international break until March. I've heard that so often, but in January there's a little tournament in Africa. I just want to say," end of quote. After Liverpool's 2-0 victory over FC Porto in the UEFA Champions League on Wednesday, an infuriated Mr. Babatunde, speaking via video link to Klopp, demanded an apology over his little tournament comments. This was how the exchanges between Klopp and the reporter went by.
"I think it's an insult to the players, it's an insult to the fans, it's an insult to the people, and it's an insult to the continent.
Stop. Stop. It's all good. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. I don't know why you understand it like that, to be 100% honest.
That was what you said. I listened to the press. That was what you said.
Oh, no, no. I know it. I know it. I know it.
Continent, in Africa.
Babatunde, I didn't mean it like that. Okay, come on. Did you say what you say, and then I start what I want to say? If you are not finished, come on. Tell me what you want to say.
I'm done. I said, I think you're the continent, and I follow you. That's it. I'm done.
Yes. So I'm really not, it was not even close, and not even my idea in my mind that I want to talk about AFCON as a little tournament, or about the continent of Africa like a little continent, not at all. So what I meant is, because people said, and if you watch the full press conference, then you might have, if you wanted to understand it the right way, you could have understood it the right way, because they said there's no international break anymore until March. And I said, oh, there's a little tournament in January. And I didn't mean a little tournament. It just means, like you say it, when someone, there's still a tournament. It's ironic. There's still a tournament, a big one. We lose our best players to the African Cup.
You wouldn't say that in the Euros. You wouldn't say a little tournament in Euros.
I'm not a native speaker. But if you want to understand me wrong, you can do that all the time.
The African Cup of Nations will kick off in Cameroon on January the 9th, with the final to be held on February the 6th. And Klopp is set to lose Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane and Naby Keita to the international duty. In the meantime, Egypt and Liverpool superstar Mohamed Salah has been nominated for the Men's Best Player of the Year Award at the 2021 Globe Soccer Awards. The Globe Soccer Awards are annual football awards organized by the European Club Association in conjunction with the European Association of Players Agents. The 2021 edition will see Mohamed Salah up against the likes of Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, Kylian Mbappe, Karim Benzema and Romelu Lukaku for the Best Player of the Year award, to name a few. Also nominated is Al Khokli for the Best Men's Club of the Year award. The 12th edition of the awards will be held on the 27th of December in the United Arab Emirates.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And now to basketball news. The race for who will represent the African continent at the next FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023 got underway on Friday in Benguela, Angola. In the first game, Cape Verde handed Nigeria the Tigers a shock 79-71 defeat in Group A. All the games slated for today include Guinea versus Central African Republic, Cote d'Ivoire versus host Angola, and the late game involving Mali and Uganda. And speaking of Uganda, the national basketball team, the Silverbacks, only managed to travel to Angola for the FIBA World Cup qualifiers, overcoming the financial troubles that recently forced them to announce that they had cancelled their participation. A statement by the Federation of Ugandan Basketball Association on Wednesday said the team had failed to secure funds from the government to facilitate their trip to Benguela, Angola. However, to the surprise of many, they announced on Thursday that they had left for Angola in the wee hours. Samson Obua is Ugandan Minister of Sports.
All boils back to what I was talking about, proper planning. I will show you that the Office of the Minister of State for Education and Sports in charge of sports received the official letter for requisitioning for support to the Silverbacks on the 22nd of November 2021. And the team, according to the letter, should travel latest by 23rd November. Now, in terms of planning, you are submitting a requisition for a national team to travel on 22nd. You expect government to look for money, the team must travel latest 23rd. So that means the team should literally travel on the day.
Finally, in athletics, Kenyan athletes took the top honors in both the men's and women's categories at the 2021 edition of the Abu Dhabi Marathon held on Friday. Titus Ekuru, world's fastest man of 2021 in the marathon category, won with a timing of 2 hours, 6 minutes, 13 seconds. Ekuru is currently ranked as the world's 5th best in the men's marathon history. Judith Jeptum Kuria clinched the women's race with a time of 2 hours, 22 minutes, 30 seconds.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale with another extra spicy African sports package.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
My name is Shida Lane, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page on this Friday, you'll see a photo of British Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton, who has been the man to beat on the race circuit. But the 7-time world champion says he wants his efforts promoting black representation in the sport to be his greatest legacy. VOA's Gwen Ooten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 36-year-old Lewis Hamilton is hailed as one of the greatest Formula One drivers to ever grace a circuit. But in a video interview from the Mercedes F1 factory, Hamilton tells Reuters News he wants his legacy to be about much more than winning championships. He wants to be remembered for creating greater diversity in the sport.
I think I always wanted to be remembered as one of the best drivers of all time. Probably deep down, wanted to be remembered, you know, working towards being the greatest driver of all time. having all these championships is a cool thing for sure, but what do you do with all those, right? So I really hope my legacy, when people look back in 10, 20 years, they look back and see a more diverse sport. It's because I challenge the sport and I challenge individuals that are in power.
Hamilton is F1's first and only black driver in the sport's 75-year history. And the Englishman says when he made his F1 debut in 2007, he knew he was different.
My whole career, my dad and I, we were the only people of color at the track, always. And then we got to Formula One, and it was exactly the same. And I never quite truly understood why. And I'd ask the question always to my bosses, people that I work with in the industry, and no one ever had an answer. And they were comfortable with not knowing also, in the sense that, well, they just know people of color that are applying. It starts with education. So I was like, I'm gonna do this research because no one else is doing it. Try and find out what the barriers are, why people aren't applying. These are the facts, these are the issues, these are the barriers, and this is how we can work together to implement change. And it's a real conscious effort. You know, you have to make a conscious effort. I'll arrive on photo shoots and I'll be continuously the only person of color there. I'll arrive in meetings and the only person of color there. I'll arrive at the race. Even still today, I will continue in the driver's briefing, the only person of color there. So the goal ultimately is to create an ecosystem that reflects the outer world, right? Creating opportunities is what it's about. And so it goes all the way down to education, which is really where it all starts.
Hamilton is a leader on the circuit and in the forefront off the track in promoting inclusion for people of color. Last year, he launched the Hamilton Commission alongside the Royal Academy of Engineering to address the underrepresentation of black people in UK motorsport. This past July, the commission released a 93-page report that examined the issue and included 10 recommendations for change. That report dovetailed into the creation of a new charitable initiative called Ignite in partnership with Mercedes to support diversity and inclusion in motorsport. Through his organizations, Hamilton hopes to encourage lasting change in a sport where he has excelled. He is the most successful driver in F1 history, winning a record 102 races and tying with Michael Schumacher as a 7-time Formula One world champion. And the Mercedes driver says on the track, he continues to face the deep-seated fear of not living up to his potential.
I don't win a race and go, wow, great. Never ever felt that. I'm just always thinking, okay, how can I be better? It lasts for a short moment, the success. But then straight away your mind's on, well, actually, what people didn't see is, you know, I lost a bit of time there, or I could have been better here through the pit stops. So it's a never-ending cycle of searching for perfection. I mean, ultimately, greatness is someone that's probably gone the highest that they can go in terms of what they could achieve. Greatness is also, though, is about humanity and about helping people and how you connect with people and leaving your mark on the planet.
Back on the track, Hamilton is currently in a battle with Dutchman Max Verstappen for the 2021 driver's title. Hamilton trails by 8 points with 2 more races to go in the season. Max Verstappen is vying for his first Formula One trophy. Meanwhile, Lewis Hamilton is racing toward a record 8th championship title. And that is all from me. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. As Lewis Hamilton powers towards a possible record-breaking 8th Formula One Drivers' Championship, he has his eyes on the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, which will be held December 5th at the Jeddah Circuit racetrack. Hamilton is coming off a victory November 21st at the Qatar Grand Prix. Off the track, Lewis Hamilton says one of his passions is music. Hamilton is quoted as saying, "Music has been a huge passion of mine since I was really young. I started playing guitar when I was 13. With music, I can be me, I can be vulnerable. I can show a side of me that people don't get to see. In fact, Lewis Hamilton has been writing and recording music for more than 10 years. And I'm sure if Lewis Hamilton sees the checkered flag in Saudi Arabia on December 5th, the sound of cheering fans will be music to his ears. And that wraps up the November 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.